Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Brothers and sisters, the Wednesday of the second week of Easter. Let's keep Easter in there. This is not after Easter. We are celebrating Easter for 50 days. So come join the celebration. The opening prayer for today says this: As we recall year by year the mysteries by which, through the restoration of its original dignity, human nature has received the hope of rising again. That's not some kind of silly wishful thinking. There's real hope that we will rise again because of what Christ did for us upon the cross. We earnestly beseech your mercy, Lord, that what we celebrate in faith, we may possess in unending love. Let me repeat that. We earnestly beseech your mercy, Lord, that what we celebrate in faith, we may possess in unending love. If you can go to Mass today, make sure you pray that prayer. Ask for that grace. If you can't, take that prayer and pray it from home and ask God for the grace that what I celebrate in faith I may possess in unending love. It's the promise. First reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. The high priest rose up and all his companions, that is the party of the Sadducees, and notice this, filled with jealousy, laid hands upon the apostles and put them in the public jail. Again. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, Go, take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life. Can you imagine? First that you get arrested, you're thrown in jail. Then an angel comes to you and says, Follow me. And go and take your place in the temple area. I mean, that's where they're going to be arrested again. Go and take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life. When they heard this, they went to the temple. They obeyed. They went to the temple early in the morning and taught. When the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. But the court officers who went did not find them in the prison. So they came back and reported, We found the jail securely locked, the guards stationed outside the doors, but when we opened the doors, we found no one inside. Can you imagine how startled everybody was? When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were at a loss about them as to what this would come to. They knew they were dealing with something, and they thought they were just clever, and they kept escaping. But the more this went on, they just didn't know what is going to be the end result of all this. And then someone came in and reported to them, The men whom you put in prison are in the temple area and are teaching the people. And then the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Here we have all these Jewish leaders who are getting into deeper and deeper trouble because they're trying to keep everything at peace and handle everything, and it's the law, and therefore everybody has to observe the law. And these men just keep appearing and speaking, and then they're carted off to prison, and then they somehow get out, and then they're back preaching. They wonder, they were afraid, these people were afraid, because they didn't know what was ahead for them. They didn't know what this meant. They couldn't get their hands on it, because Jesus was working miracle after miracle for his disciples. Psalm 34, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Don't we feel poor, just like these first disciples, the first apostles must have felt very poor. they go somewhere and they think this is the end of it, and then they're miraculously set free, and all kinds of things happen to them. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Think of that. He delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress, he saved him. When you're really in distress, do you cry out to the Lord? And when you cry out to the Lord, do you tell him exactly how he ought to save you or spare you or free you? Or do you just trust him? Don't try to dictate how God's supposed to do this. God sees far beyond, infinitely beyond what you see. There's no limit in God. Trust him. Just ask him, Lord, set me free. Lord, help me in this darkness of whatever nature it is. He'll hear you. He does hear you. And he will answer. It might not be the way you want, and it might not be the timing you want, but when he does it, you'll realize how perfect the timing was. Trust him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. Not in your own ideas, not in your own plans, not in the people you know, not in your bank account, not in whatever. Don't put your trust there. Bless the man who takes refuge in the Lord. In other words, that's where you hide. That's where your refuge is. Make him your refuge. Make him the place you go for safety. Make him the place you go when you need wisdom. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a very familiar verse, but do you really hear it? God so loved the world. That's you and me. In the midst of our sin, our weakness, our fears, everything, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God does not want you condemned, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As long as you're on the face of this earth, you can turn around. Even if you said, I don't believe, I don't want to believe, if you can say, Lord, help me to believe, that's all you have to say. And God takes you and draws you to himself. He will. Trust him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. Isn't that true for us? You always want to work in obscurity. You always want to work behind closed doors. You always want to work in whispers because of sin. Sin twists us. Sin sours us. Sin turns us. And we commit evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light. Whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. That's God's plan. Let me share with you the story of a couple who walked in the light when it would have been understanding that they walked in darkness. Listen to this. The day Candace's body was found, all our friends came to visit. This was their 13-year-old daughter. She was murdered on her way home from school. The day Candace's body was found, all our friends came to visit, bringing warm food with them. There was so much love in the house that it helped us get through those hours. And then at around 10:30 that evening, when most people had left, there was a knock on the door and a stranger stood there. He told us, quote, "I'm the parent of a murdered child too." He was saying, "We now belong to an exclusive club that no one wants to belong to." We invited him to the kitchen table, and for the next 2 hours, he told us in vivid detail everything he'd lost: his health, relationships, concentration, his ability to work. He had even lost all memory of his daughter because now he could only think of the murder, the trauma, and the hate that followed. My husband Cliff and I went to bed that night horrified by the graphic picture he had painted. Having just been through the pain and just right then going through the pain of losing our daughter, it now seemed we might lose everything else as well. And so my husband and I made a decision that night that we would respond differently. We chose the path of forgiveness. Little did I know that the word forgiveness would haunt me for the next 30 years, prod me, guide me, heal me, label me, enlighten me, imprison me, free me, and in the end, define me. I was right out there in public, confessing to everyone the desire of my heart. For me, forgiving has been about turning what has happened to us into good. Forgiveness is not just a one-off event, nor does it mean you're doing the same thing again and again. The issues of Candace's murder present themselves differently every day. Forgiveness is a fresh, ongoing, ever-present position of the mind, which takes on many different forms. It's a promise of what we want to do. We want to forgive. And for 30-some years, she and her husband have lived it because they saw what unforgiveness does. It destroys a person. He even lost the memory of his daughter because vicious, evil, hatred destroyed him. Brothers and sisters, one of the things the Lord asks us to do, and many of us carry unforgiveness in our hearts, if you want life, if you want faith in the Son of God to strengthen you, to heal you, to restore you, God will give you the grace to be as courageous as this couple was, to choose the path of forgiveness rather than the path of revenge. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he desires his risen life to live through you, work through you, and bring many others to you. May you yield to God's grace. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.